Chosen One, written by Just a Sleepy Fox, read by God of Laundry Baskets, fandom, In Stars and Time. One. Mirabelle! Run! For all the classes she took, Mirabelle has never learned a thing. She cuts her hand when she chops vegetables too fast. She cannot mold a statue with even features, cannot keep a plant from wilting under her shaking fingers. She looks in the mirror and sees a hopeless little girl masquerading as a woman worth believing in. The curse advances, and she knows she cannot outrun it. Just pushes her away, buys her time she can never repay him for. She doesn't watch as the darkness creeps up his feet too, his legs, his torso. Mirabelle was never a star student, but she always did what she was told. So she runs. There are too many sadnesses between her and the door. She has her rapier, but steel cannot protect her from the encroaching cold. But for all the times Mirabelle has failed, she has never not tried. So she cuts through the amalgamations of sorrow and failure until the darker-than-dark lightlessness reaches to claim her. It washes over her like a bitter wind, but it doesn't stop her. Mirabelle has never done things the right way. From her core, she feels a warmth melt the ice before it can set, feels a whisper wash over her, and she knows that Euphrasia has blessed her. And she knows Euphrasia has chosen the wrong housemaiden. But it's too late to go back. So she runs like the coward she has always been and doesn't stop until she's heaving for air in the center of town beneath the effigies of her god, watching her, watching, but never intervening. Between ragged breaths, she tells the villagers what happened. They think the change god was the one to save her, to bless her. She doesn't correct them. She lets them believe in the lamb in sheep's clothing and hopes by the time she returns, she will fit the skin. Two. At first, she thinks the defenders see through her facade. They will not follow the lamb to slaughter, and she cannot blame them for it. Then she realizes it's the opposite. They were not chosen like her. They are not strong like her. The king cannot curse her, but she is cursed all the same. A blessing wasted and rotting separates her from her countrymen. Misplaced hope weighs on her shoulders, but she carries it all the same. Someone reaches her at the edge of the city. Maybe he sees through her. Maybe he is just as blind as the rest of the city. He believes in her, and she cannot bear to let him down. Greedily, she steals him from everything he's ever known, so at least when she fails, she won't be alone. If she fails, at least someone will have seen her try. She doesn't know what he would do if she told him the truth. Would he stay? Would he give up on her? Isabeau chose her. Euphrasia just chose her. If she cannot believe in herself, she will just have to believe in the people that chose her. Three. One thing she appreciates about Madame Odell is that she doesn't need to believe in Mirabelle to join her. She sees two people on a hopeless quest and chooses to join them anyway, not because she believes they can win, but because she can't abandon them. She is like Mirabelle. She cannot bear to dash anyone's hope. She would rather die defiant than let anyone see her doubt. One thing she regrets is that she has doubled the blood on her hands. She is a lamb with a shepherd's crook, and her allies will follow her to the grave. But something, fate, the change god, Tum Luck, intervenes. A stranger in a wool cloak cuts down the beast before it can devour her. They don't recognize her staff, but he follows her all the same. She does not understand, but by now she is too afraid to ask. Months later, he tells her this is the happiest they can remember being. Their I, because he only has one now, because she couldn't save the other, crinkles with a genuine smile she cannot understand. She cannot understand what he sees in her, what any of them do. But she has four friends and the remains of a country believing in her. And she is okay with failing herself, but she cannot fail them. 4. Isn't it better to just come to terms with it now rather than later? Accept that you'll always be alone. She doesn't know what changed. Maybe nothing. Maybe everything. But Sifrin woke up and took her confidence and shredded it like a dagger through a sadness. The worst part is that they're right. She should have accepted her fate instead of dragging everyone down with her. She should have made Isabeau turn around, made Odell go home instead of fighting for hers. She should have left Bonnie in a town where nothing could have happened to them. At least Sifrin sees through her. At least someone else saw the truth before she could fool herself any longer. And for some reason, this is what changes her mind. Because it's so easy to listen to the anxious voice in her head. But when it comes from someone else, she hears it for what it is. Cruel and demanding and wrong, wrong, wrong. She is not a lamb. She is not a shepherd. She is Mirabelle. And that is all she needs to be. She marches up to the house and saves her stupid crabbing friend twice over. And the entire crabbing country. But that's not as important. Five. Bonus. The one thing she regrets is not recognizing her own pain in someone else's eyes. Well, I. But she is an expert at learning and has learned to see herself how her loved ones do. She looks in the mirror and sees a woman worth believing in. She sees a woman worthy of love. So she takes that experience, that knowledge, and sits beside her bedridden reflection and does enough believing for the both of them. Until he can learn to love himself, and every day after that, she will do the loving for the both of them. The end.